Learn live in the classroom at Online Trading Academy's Financial Education Center in Bellevue. You'll have access to state-of-the-art workstations where you can learn on a professional trading platform. Text Cairo to 57682 to register for a free half-day workshop and learn more.
The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
Coming to you from the Carter Silvero Studios. Welcome to our top stories this hour. And man, I will tell you, we had a conversation right at the beginning of the show. We pulled some sound bites from it because if anything exemplifies what's going on in our region right now, it's what happened to this young couple from Michigan that was visiting Seattle yesterday.
The Big Lead, Dory Monson Show exclusive.
And the way I found out about this story is a listener of the show who has an auto body shop up in Everett. He sent me an email this morning and said, I have a couple in my shop. Their rental car was smashed and grabbed yesterday. It turns out this couple, he's 23, she's 20. They came out to our state because they wanted to visit our national parks. They'd already been to Olympic National Park. They are still planning on going to the North Cascades, then Mount Rainier, and then down to Mount Hood in Oregon. Wonderful, wholesome vacation. One that I can relate to because my wife and I, a lot of our family vacations were centered around national parks. And one of the great treasures, by the way, I'm always complaining about government, but I tell you what, national park rangers, they love their job. Almost every park, they do these ranger walks, and you're often by yourself with the ranger. Very few people sign up for it compared to how cool they are. But the one we did at Fort McHenry in Baltimore, the ranger was just made it come alive. The British ships are coming into the harbor, and he's leading the kids sprinting down the hill and diving behind the cannon. And you got to defend this young nation from a British invasion. And it came to life for the kids because this guy was so cool. I loved him. I got him on the show after I got back from that trip. But, you know, whether it's been volcanoes in Hawaii or, you know, Zion, Bryce Canyon, I just, man, have such passionate memories of National Park. So, this young couple, 23 and 20 years old, his name's Philip, they were going from Olympic to North Cascades, and they decided, hey, let's see Seattle. They're from the Detroit area in Michigan. And they thought, well, we'll go see Seattle on our way in between parks. So yesterday morning, they park in a very crowded tourist and business area right by the Four Seasons and the Pike Place Market. But they made one gigantic mistake. They left their two backpacks in the car. They just thought as much street pedestrian traffic as there is, as much of a tourist area as this is, nobody's going to smash our car window here, right? Well, I got Philip on the line 2 hours ago. Tell me what happened on your overnight in our city.
So we parked for 1 hour at the cross streets of Western Avenue and Union Street.
Okay, sure.
Thought it was a pretty populated area. We just did street parking, came back in 1 hour, and our window was smashed. Both of our backpacks were gone that had clothing and my laptop and some other personal items. So it is not how we wanted our short visit to Seattle to go.
And I told him I knew what he was feeling because my wife and our three girls, a few years ago, we went back to Chicago. It was part of a Midwest college visit trip for our oldest daughter. So I guess that was 10 years ago now, 10 or 11. Man, time flies. We were staying right down by Navy Pier at, I think it was one of those Marriott Residence Inn. It was a nice hotel, high rise. And it had about a 6-7 level underground parking garage. So we have to check out at 11 o'clock. We don't have to leave for the airport until about 3:30 or 4. So we were going to leave all of our bags at the bell desk. Well, there was a huge crowd of people, some busload, some tour was just coming into the hotel, and the line for the bell desk was forever. And so we just said, we had a minivan that we rented. And we just said, you know what, we're about 5 levels down in this parking garage. We'll just stash all our bags in the car, and then we'll go walk around for a couple hours before we leave for the airport. So we do. We walk around as tourists in Chicago. We get back to our car to go to the airport, and sure enough, a window is smashed. And it doesn't register right away. We saw that one of the suitcases was open. And I was like, how did that pop open? And then we see that one of the windows was smashed. And then we learned that they had gone through every one of our bags, grabbing electronics. My girls had, I think it was iPods at the time, and other electric camera with pictures that they hadn't uploaded yet. And it's devastating. And the thing is, it had been just this wonderful, magical family trip. We had had a blast every single step of that trip. And now the only thing my girls associate with Chicago is, it's where our car was smashed and people ripped us off. And so I knew exactly what this young couple down by the Pike Place Market yesterday, I knew what they were going through. And I asked Philip about the emotions of this. Describe for my listeners what that feeling is like when you process what exactly is going on there.
I'm not sure where to start. There's obviously an initial shock, and then you're like, oh, crap, this rental car that's not even my car got damaged. What am I supposed to do? And then you realize your stuff is gone, so now you're out. First of all, you already paid for this vacation, and then you're out already another $1,000, $1,500 because your stuff got stolen. It feels awful. Yeah. Maybe the best way to describe it is my girlfriend cried for a few hours because there's nobody to help. We called the police, and the police said, oh, yeah, this happens all the time. You should have, locked your stuff in the trunk. And they said, we'll call you in the next 10 hours to make a police report. And I'm like, can we have somebody come out and, do anything? And they said, nope, sorry. We can have somebody come out, but they might take 2 days.
Welcome to Seattle. Welcome to Seattle. Welcome to the city. The vision of Mike O'Brien, Kashama Sawant, and Bruce Harrell, Sally Bagshaw, Lorena Gonzalez, Deborah Juarez. Welcome to their vision of Seattle now finally being a reality. And I will tell you, after I talked to Philip a couple of hours ago, I was checking out the text messages, and there were a lot of people blaming the victim. A lot of people said, yeah, that's what you get when you leave your backpacks in view in a car. And that's sad to me that so many people wanted to blame them. The car was locked in a very heavily trafficked area. And now it's just become a given that this happens so often that we're going to blame the victim for leaving anything in the car. They don't know anything about Seattle. These are national park day trippers. They didn't know what a cesspool the city's become. In fact, they live not far from Detroit. And they said, in comparison, and sadly, Philip, we have politicians who have done everything they can to encourage that and to attract homeless drug addicts from around the country to Seattle. And we've become the most drug-friendly city in the country, but those people still need to feed their habits, and they feed it by committing crimes. And I'm heartbroken for you guys that you're paying the price for our despicable city leadership. But that's what's going on now in Seattle.
It's unbelievable. So we're from the Detroit area, so we're not, we understand that crime happens, but even in Detroit, you can park downtown safely, or at least you know where the bad, sketchy parts are. We thought that we were totally safe because we were on a popular street. There were dozens of people walking by all the time. It was midday. It was right next to a very popular tourist area. We thought if there's one place that we didn't really have to worry about it, it'd be right there.
Yeah.
Turns out we were wrong.
And I had some people who sent me some stats and said, oh, no, crime's worse in Detroit. Look, here are the stats. And I haven't had a chance to verify. After Philip said that, I started getting text messages from people saying, no, Seattle's still safer than Detroit. But there's a huge difference. I was in Detroit, what was it, 2006, February of 2006. So it was 12 years ago when the Seahawks went to their first ever Super Bowl. And that was played in Detroit. The downtown area of Detroit has been rejuvenated and business has come back. And downtown Detroit is pretty nice. Down by the lake there, it's pretty nice. Now, there are some slum, ghetto, every window's broken out. There are bars on every other window. Areas of Detroit where crime is rampant. And that's why Detroit has worse overall crime numbers. But downtown Detroit compared to downtown Seattle, Seattle's more dangerous. Just flat out is more dangerous here. Because we have become the drug capital of the United States. Because of people like Councilman Mike O'Brien, Seattle has become the kind of city where, you know, this poor young couple is victimized like this. And Philip and his girlfriend could not believe what they were seeing around this city. I know that we all just are sick when we hear stories like yours.
It's unbelievable. We ended up talking to multiple people about this, as you can imagine. And I didn't realize that it's legal for anybody to camp on public land.
Not only that, but we've decriminalized possession of heroin, possession of meth. King County, Snohomish County, they say we can't prosecute it anymore. So we're throwing up our hands. And people like Mike O'Brien, who's at that community forum, in defending the cesspool that he's helped create, and he says to some of the constituents, oh, so do you think the war on drugs worked? Well, it worked a heck of a lot better than what we have now in Seattle, Councilman, when we're just allowing people to inject heroin in between their toes while sitting on a park bench, into their eyeballs while sitting out in Lake City. Yeah, I'd say that your current approach is not working. And so the word is out, and when this couple gets back home to the Midwest, what would you say? You go back home to Michigan, and some of your friends come up to you and Katie and say, hey, we've heard a lot of things about Seattle. We're thinking about going out there for a visit. What would you tell them?
There's no way I would recommend for them to come out here. I'm sorry. I'm sure that there are really good things about Seattle, and we've seen good things here. It's just, they do not outweigh the risk of being here. It's a pretty city, and in parts, but I don't understand how people can live here in constant fear that their car might be robbed or that their car might be smashed. I just don't understand that.
And this is what happened. These two parachuted in here from Michigan. They don't know all the buildup. They don't know the stuff that you and I have been talking about for months and years. And this is throughout Western Washington, this problem. They don't know that we have politicians who love having heroin addicts, homeless on our streets so that they can get $75 million from business so that they can create a bunch of jobs for their cronies. They don't know that, you know, when Seattle says we need an extra $75 million a year. Why is that? Well, because ever since the accused child rapist was elected mayor of Seattle, he added 1,300 city workers to the payroll. When you factor in their benefits, they average $100,000 a year. That's $130 million extra a year to pay for 1,300 new city employees because the accused child rapist couldn't help but add as many jobs as possible so that he could buy off every single constituency he could think of. $130 million a year extra. Is our city better than before the accused child rapist was elected mayor? Have the 1,300 new employees made a glowing difference in the city? No, it's gotten dramatically worse. You want to pay for all of these problems? Get the city staffing back to where it was before the accused child rapist was elected mayor. And then you have an extra $130 million a year. But no, it's all about creating six-figure jobs for buddies, for cronies. And that's what the visitors see now. They see a city that has been destroyed by the city council, by Kashama Sawant, by Mike O'Brien, by the accused child rapist, and his successor, Jenny Durkin. Where is she? Where's leadership? I haven't heard anything from Jenny Durkin. Every time I see a news story, they go to the mayor's office for a quote. She's not available for comment. What kind of a leader is Jenny Durkin? She let seven people lay in the middle of the street and gridlock downtown for 6.5 hours. She was MIA the entire time. And it's not just Seattle. It's all up and down the I-5 corridor from Skagit County, where there's a horrible drug problem. There were so many stories in the news just today about, I mean, this would be like a month's worth of crime every single day now. Let me run down some of these for you. Down in Centralia, a 43-year-old man went out into the middle of a Little League game and attacked the coach and then the female league president when she tried to intervene. The league president is Kelly Christensen.
He got in my face, told me, you know, I need to get it back. He was going to hurt me. At that point, he did start to shove me. He cocked his hand back like he was going to swing at me. And again, thank goodness that everyone stepped in before that happened.
And the coach of this Little League team, he's a corrections officer, and he had had dealings with the accused in all this. Maljenny Dennett-Claw is the person who confronted the coaches, was just wandering around the field there.
That was my concern, is to get him away from the kids as far as possible. You don't want kids seeing that kind of behavior and being scared, just being there playing baseball. That's all they want to do. They just want to play ball.
Yeah, no, kids can't play ball around here anymore. Up in Bellingham, Western Washington University, 18-year-old kid has been arrested, booked into jail on suspicion of raping a 19-year-old girl on campus. Wallingford, 25-year-old man charged yesterday with murder in the killing of a 38-year-old Wallingford woman. And he tortured her, stabbed her 60 to 70 times before her throat was slashed. 25-year-old Ian Flaherty charged with first-degree murder. Mountlake Terrace, no suspect, few clues after a man was shot overnight. Seattle, Children's Hospital, person run over in a crosswalk last night. They believe that two cars ran over the person, both of them hit and runs. I mean, this didn't happen with this level of frequency, but as you bring drugs in, you bring crime into the region, and this is the end result of all of it. So it's all about your vote, and if you keep voting for people like Dow Constein, Jenny Durkin, Mike O'Brien, Kashama Sawant, then the continual erosion of this region will continue unabated. That is your big lead this hour.
The Big Lead on Cairo Radio.
We're going to check the news for you, and then we'll count down our favorite sound bites of the day. Awesome audio coming up. Hey, thanks for listening to the Dory Monson Show podcast, brought to you by Industrious Office. If you are on the search for your business's next home, there's simply no hotter place in the country than downtown Seattle right now. I went on a tour with Emily at Industrious Office. It's an amazing workspace right on 6th and Lenora in the heart of all that Seattle has to offer. Visit industriousoffice.com/Cairo or call Emily to schedule a tour. Mention Cairo, receive your first month lease for free.
Hey there, business owners. Isn't this great? You can listen to Dory anytime, anywhere. If you're listening, your customers probably are too, so you need to give me a call. I can help you out and get your business placed right here in this show. 206-726-6819. It's Tina Sorensen, the General Sales Manager for Cairo Radio.
Afternoon here. We've got a lot of cool stuff planned for later on this week, too. Got a lot of interesting guests. I can't be too specific quite yet. Everybody except Mike O'Brien. We're getting everybody except Mike O'Brien.
We have one next week that we could tease, couldn't we?
You think it's safe?
Well, I know he has bailed on us before, but he has a show that night, so he has to be here.
Well, he's very passionate about the issue, too. Yeah, no, our buddy Duff McKagan from Guns N' Roses, he and I had a long text exchange a few nights ago, and then the next morning, first thing in the morning, he was texting me some more stuff. And he's very passionate about an issue in the city that I'm very passionate about. And so, yes, we are planning, as of right now, if his schedule holds, that Duff McKagan from Guns N' Roses will join us in studio for at least a half hour coming up. What's that going to be, Thursday? Week from Thursday?
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
A week from Thursday. And he's a really, I love the guy. And once, the thing about Duff, when he gets on a topic, because I told you that I think it was last November when there was a mail by ballot or ballot by mail vote. And Duff had been touring with Guns N' Roses. And my phone rings at 6 a.m. And it's Duff. And he says, hey, I haven't had a chance. He's calling from Cleveland. They'd been at Madison Square Garden for a couple of nights. And then he was in Cleveland. And he said, I got my ballot and I haven't been able to follow these local issues. So can we talk through them?
Well, that, and I know that he gets Seattle news alerts like from us and probably various news outlets in the city. And he has texted about, well, certain mayors that got into trouble when they got into trouble and that alert went out. Like, he's pretty fun. He's very connected, even though he's never here.
Yeah, and he's just very passionate. And he still lives down in the Laurelhurst area where he grew up, too. So anyway, Duff's going to, our buddy Duff's going to pop by for a half hour one day next week. We think that's going to be Thursday because he's got a show in town that night. So look forward to that. With that as mere prelude, let's count down our favorite sound bites of the day.
This is Dory Monson's awesome audio clips of the day.
Okay, at number three, there's a school. What did you think about these this garb that they're going to make some girls wear?
Well, it's ridiculous, but it's a Catholic school.
That's
they can
it.
Do what they want.
That's it, exactly. A Catholic school back in Michigan, they have a dress code for prom. And part of it is that you're not supposed to wear off-the-shoulder stuff. And if the girl's dress is off the shoulder, they have ordered a bunch of really hideously ugly what are being called modesty ponchos.
Really, it looks more like a shawl.
Yeah,
but
it's ugly.
But it's kind
poncho
of style.
Garish color, and they are saying that they have rules. And it's a Catholic school. And that's the thing. I can't criticize this because private schools should be allowed great latitude to implement rules. And if you don't like the rules, don't go to you make a choice to go to schools and you accept their rules when you go to private, any type of private high school. And so here is a student explaining how the modesty ponchos will be given out at prom.
Number three.
As we walk into prom, we are to shake hands with all the teachers. And as you walk through, if a teacher deems that your dress is inappropriate, you will be given a poncho at the door. I do believe that the school has gone very far with this.
And they even have a mannequin with one of the ponchos on display, and they have a sign attached to it that says, if your dress does not meet our formal dance dress requirements, no problem. We've got you covered. Literally, this is our modesty poncho, which you'll be given at the door. And the teacher at the school, Mary Pat O'Malley, which, by the way, might be the most Catholic school name in history. Mary Pat O'Malley says that they didn't mean to offend the kids.
We are trying to focus on the inner beauty of people and not draw attention to something that doesn't really need to have attention drawn to it. It was really intended as a deterrent and a very lighthearted one at that.
And one of the parents, though, says, no, this is horrible what they're doing to the girls.
It's a method of shaming, a method of bullying, a method of degrading the females.
Come on.
That's why I wanted this in here, because I thought that was so obnoxious.
Well, yeah, why do you choose to send your kid to a conservative Catholic school if you don't want conservative Catholic values?
And I'm assuming it's mostly a cleavage thing. And if, like, come on, if the rule is no cleavage, like, no cleavage.
Right. And
no
if
way.
You don't like the rule, go send your kid to a sluttier high school, for crying out loud. And this student says that there may be some pushback.
I would refuse the poncho, and if I'm not able to attend my prom, then that is fine. I would be okay with going to dinner somewhere else dressed up.
All these people are ridiculous.
Don't make a big scene of it. Yeah. Just do that.
Yeah. Go to a different school. You're paying money. You choose that. You choose their rules. Number two, a guy, a Democrat, who's trying to replace Al Franken as senator in Minnesota. Man, he was doing an interview on MSNBC, and all they wanted to know is, do you believe Al Franken's female accusers, the reason Al Franken had to resign? What a weasel this guy is. His name's Richard Painter.
Number two.
Do you believe the women who came forward and made these accusations against Al Franken? Some of them are Democrats.
I don't know the facts here. That's why we were entitled to find that out. But, you know, this election is
not about Al Franken. He left office, though. We can keep talking about Al Franken,
but this is not about him. This is about Donald Trump.
Oh, shut up. I'm so sick and tired of everybody. That's what we're going to hear through all these midterms. All the guy wants to know is Al Franken was photographed with his hands on a sleeping woman's breasts, and you can't say you believe the accusers? When you've seen evidence, you have to bring up, and the way this guy talks, too, what an obnoxious guy this is.
And his abuse of power. And we need to elect senators and representatives who are going to stand up to him. And if people want to just continue to talk about Al Franken, and those allegations.
Sure.
That's what Trump wants to do.
I'm not trying to make this about Al Franken, but we've had a big moment in this country about the issue of sexual assault. It's called the Me Too movement. Women coming forward saying that powerful men, men in positions of authority, abused that authority, put them in positions, made unwanted advances, did worse things to them, and eight of them stepped forward about Al Franken. It's the reason there's an election right now. And I'm hearing you say you don't know if any of them were telling the truth.
I said, I don't know the facts. I think we should have find out the facts, not just when powerful men are accused of sexual harassment and sexual assault, the most famous men, but other men.
Oh, jeez, what an absolute blowhard this guy is. At number one in our awesome audio, Roseanne, her TV sitcom reboot is a huge hit. She's a Trump fan on the show, and she voted for Trump off the show. And she talked to Jimmy Fallon about that last night.
Number one.
It couldn't be a bigger thing. But then also with a big hit comes people that aren't so happy as well. If you say that you're a supporter of Donald Trump or...
Oh, yeah, people are mad about that.
Yeah.
But, you know, I don't give a...
You know, that's nice when you've arrived at a point in life where you can say that, I guess. All right, we've got a lot more to do here. Today's sign, the end is near. coming up next. And down the stretch we come.
Hey, what a show.
All right, before we get out of here, lots more to do with today's edition of...
Today's sign that the end is near.
Today's sign the world is soon coming to an end. Let's start in Virginia, where a 24-year-old guy tried to drown himself in a swimming pool. But thank goodness there were good Samaritans all around. Matthias Fijalkowski jumped into this pool to die. He now says that the police officers from the Fairfax County Police Department who jumped in to rescue him, and a lifeguard as well, he says that they waited too long to rescue him. And so he is now suing those cops. He says that he doesn't know how to swim. He was hired to work as an assistant manager of the pool at the Riverside Apartments after moving to the U.S. from Poland. He spoke little English at the time. He'd come to America through a summer job program. And he said he had never had a mental episode before, but his third day on the job, something changed. He began talking to himself in Polish, arguing with pool guests. A lifeguard called the police after he ripped off one girl's wristband and refused to let her swim. As eight officers arrived on the scene, Fijalkowski repeatedly blew his whistle, shouted, "I am the lifeguard," and started to pray in Polish. And then he threw his cell phone into the pool. He climbed the lifeguard tower, and then he jumped into the pool. And he claims that officers left him underwater for more than 2 minutes. And he says he walked into the deep end, grabbed two vents on the bottom of the pool to hold himself down, according to the lawsuit. He was in the water for 2.5 minutes. Officers can be seen after they jumped in and rescued the guy. They performed CPR on him on the pool deck. Emergency technicians eventually arrived on the scene. The guy was revived with a defibrillator. He suffered cardiac and respiratory arrest. And he says he has more than $100,000 in medical bills because of this episode. And now he's telling the Washington Post, "The police allowed me to sink before their eyes. I'm glad that in the end they realized that they shouldn't let me drown, but I don't thank them for letting me die clinically before their eyes." So the guys who saved his life, he is now suing. Ah, what a country, huh? Bet you couldn't have gotten away with that in your homeland there. Today's sign story number two. I tell you what, Caitlyn Jenner cannot stay out of the news. Talk about being absolutely addicted to fame. So used to be Bruce Jenner, now Caitlyn Jenner, still trying to find anything to stay in the limelight. And now it's being reported that 68-year-old Caitlyn is going to marry a 21-year-old transgender student named Sophia. Sophia, biological boy, now dresses as a girl, and I don't know if Sophia has done anything else to transform into a woman. But they're 47 years apart. You know that Caitlyn's only doing this because the 47-year age gap guaranteed more headlines. Caitlyn was on with Piers Morgan a couple of months ago.
How does your physique compare now to what it was like then? Obviously, certain areas we know.
Well, I was 6'2". See, you made a comment there, and that's why you would get in trouble. Okay? You just said, oh, certain areas.
Right.
Okay? That, to a trans person, is disrespectful.
Is it really? Why?
Yeah, because you don't make a joke about that.
Why not?
Because it's not funny. It's life.
You can't,
and it's part of my life, and it's a very serious part of my life.
Right, but can't life be funny?
And I don't take it.
Yeah, it's just another way to get attention there. But so now reportedly Caitlyn is going to marry a 21-year-old transgender person. Finally, oh man, a sick St. Bernard. The owners were stunned because they thought the dog had cancer. There was a big mass, obviously, down around the 8-year-old dog named Maisie. Big mass around Maisie's belly. And so they took Maisie to the vet. They were fearing the worst because of this mass. But then the vet did an emergency operation on Maisie. It wasn't cancer at all. You know what was causing the big mass? When they got inside, they found out that Maisie had swallowed four of their daughter's teddy bears. That's what had become dislodged or lodged in Maisie's tummy. And I'm looking at a picture. These were pretty good-sized teddy bears. The owners did not notice that their kids' teddy bears were missing. I wonder if they give them back to the kid after they've been in Maisie's belly all this time. Anyway, they got the teddy bears out. Maisie's fine. And all is well. And all that is, today's sign, the end is near. Hey, if you weren't listening earlier today, go check out the podcast. Us talking to the young couple from Michigan that had their car smashed, backpack stolen at noon yesterday in downtown Seattle. Their first and last ever trip to Washington. They said they'll advise everyone to never come back here again. Yeah, we're getting quite a reputation in our town. And we'll keep chronicling all of it. Rod and Don coming up next, and I will see you back here tomorrow. High noon.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. You're really a fantastic audience.